we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
It is so exciting to be back with you guys. I can't tell you how excited I have been over these last couple of days getting ready for this Bible study, because you guys encourage me and you encourage one another, so I'm excited to be here. I hope you're as excited as I am, because it's going to be a great study. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay, don't forget to pick up your writing schedule. I don't know, most of you know what these are, this writing schedule that we have. I was looking for one that was on prayer to start out the year. I thought prayer would be the best thing to start with. But I came across this one on encouragement. And every day that I write on it, I am encouraged. I am strengthened. I am just excited about what God has next. So be sure to pick up one of these writing plans and get your journal together and do that writing plan together. And don't forget to pick up your schedule as well. Make sure that you have that there. Somebody asked me about the picture that's on our Bible study. It's such a cool picture. I really do love it. It's Carl Sandburg's farm in North Carolina, and Pastor Bill took the picture. So if anybody's interested in getting a copy of that picture, you wanted to do something with it, let me know, and I will make that happen for you, because I think his pictures need to get out and around. And I am excited about this study. I'm so excited to be here with you guys, and I've had coffee and everything, so in case you were wondering what's wrong with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we ask, God, that you would just give us that fresh anointing that is from you and from you alone, Lord, that you, God, would open up the doors of our minds. Lord, open up us to you. Let us hear from you, Lord. Let us hear your voice. Thank you that you bend down your ear to listen to us, Lord. And now we are going to listen intently for your voice, Lord God. I know that whenever we come anywhere, whenever we go anywhere, and we say, Lord, I just want to hear from you, it doesn't matter who's saying what, we are going to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be sensitive to your voice tonight, and that you would be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. And so I have been, every year I ask for the Lord for a verse. You guys know that. I ask for a verse every year, and the Lord every year gives me a verse. Well, Bill and I have been going through reading the Bible together, and if you've been in church, you've heard him say that we started out with the one-chapter books, and then we went to the two-chapter books, then we went to the three-chapter books, and we're going to the four. If we get to the 36 or the 52, I don't know what we're going to do, but we're doing pretty good right now. But because we were doing that, the Lord gave me my verse for the year, and my verse for the year is found in Nahum. Nahum is a minor prophet in the Old Testament. It's right after Micah. It's called a minor prophet simply because it is shorter than the other prophets or the other letters or that are in there. So there, it's not that the message is minor and unimportant. It's just that the length of it is shorter. It is chapter 2, verse 1, and it says in the New King James, "He who scatters has come up before your face. Man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, fortify your power mightily." And then I looked in the NIV, and it is the New International Version. I was saying this morning that We used to call it the nearly inspired version. But the new international version says, an attacker advances against you. Guard the fortress, watch the road, brace yourselves, marshal all your strength. And then I went to the ESV, English Standard Version. The scatterer has come up against you. The scatterer has come up against you. The one who wants to divide, the one who wants to separate, the enemy that wants to tear apart every good thing, the scatterer has come up against you. So man the ramparts. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. Watch the road. Pay attention to the road that you're on. Make sure that you're on the road of truth. Make sure that you are paying attention to the curves in the road and that you are keeping your light shining so that you can see your way clearly. Brace yourself and dress for battle. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and having your feet shod with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And collect all your strength. Collect all your strength. God spoke to me and he said, this is for you this year. You are to stay right where you're at. You are to watch the road that you're on. Pay attention. You are to put on the full armor and be prepared. And you are to collect all of your strength. Every one of those talks about us strengthening ourselves. We strengthen ourselves in the Word of God. We strengthen ourselves in prayer time. We strengthen ourselves in the investing time with one another. And God is calling us to do this. And I don't know if this verse means anything to anyone else. This is my verse for this year. I don't know. Maybe it's your verse as well. But I think it goes so well. I love the title of our Bible study for Ruth and Esther, God Positioning His People. Now, a couple of things that almost went to print with the wrong title on it. The title said, Positioning God's people. That's very different from God positioning his people. And I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm trying to position people. Although I would love to position somebody to sell See's candy for us. But I refuse to try to force anybody into that position. Okay? But I don't want to put anybody in any kind of position. So God is positioning his people. And when you get right, where you are right now is exactly where God wants you to be. And I don't know if that's a word for someone in here that you've been praying about something, you've been asking God about something. Am I supposed to go somewhere? Am I supposed to do this other thing? But I feel that there is a sense that someone needs to hear, stay where you're at. Just stay where you're at. Because I've got you. I have positioned you. And I'm glad that God has positioned you guys in this place for tonight. I'm so excited about this. Ruth and Esther were women after God's own heart and were therefore positionable. Am I positionable? Am I teachable? If I am not teachable, I am not positionable. I will kick and scream and do everything that I can to try to stay away from what God is calling me to. But God calls us to be the kind of people that are positionable, teachable, no matter how long we've walked with the Lord. There is always something new in the Word of God that we can learn. There's always something that we can change in our lives. We need to be teachable, and that's what I want to do. And so these ladies were positionable, and as we look at into these two women's stories, we realize that they were kind, they were loving, they were courageous, they were both young women who allowed themselves to be led by others who were God lovers, who were lovers of God. They allowed themselves to be positioned by someone else who was a God lover. They allowed themselves to be moved around. They didn't have to be in charge. They knew how to follow, and all of us need to know how to follow, no matter what our position is, no matter where we're at. We all need to know how to follow. You know where I need to, where I like to follow from, right? I like to follow from the front. And that doesn't work for me. It never, ever works for me when I try to follow from the front. I need to get behind Jesus, get behind the Lord, and allow him to direct my steps, allow him to lead me in the way that he wants me to be. Neither of these women would have positioned themselves in these places, in these stories. I guarantee you that. Neither of them would have put themselves in that position. Let's look at Ruth first. But we can't really look at Ruth without getting into a bit of about the time that this story all takes place. In verse 1 of Ruth, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled." In the days when the judges ruled. That's when this was taking place. There was no king in Israel. This was in the day that the judges ruled. The book of Judges ends with the phrase, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes." Sounds a little bit like the day we live in. Let's take a little glimpse into the book of Judges. If the book were made into a movie today, oh my goodness, I think it would be a blockbuster. But it would have to be rated R or maybe even X. It would have to be rated very, very carefully, because included in the book of Judges are sexual escapades, gruesome violence, and heroes that seem to be larger than life, filled in the book of Judges. The wife of a religious leader, gang raped. There's Samson, Israel's strong man with a weakness for what? Immoral women. Not just women, but immoral women. Not attracted to just a beautiful face, but immoral women. He ends up with his hair cut, he ends up without his strength, and his eyes are gouged out, and he ends up death by suicide in the book of Judges. These all happened to Israel right after Joshua died. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho when the walls came tumbling down. And they all followed him until he died. And it was almost immediately that they began to go after other idols. They began to follow after other idols over and over and over again. Don't you remember, people? Don't you remember what the covenant was with God? Don't you remember what you said that you would do? Don't you remember what he said to you? The fact is that they didn't remember, but God did, and they paid the price for their sins. Yet no matter what they did, God refused to stop loving them. God refuses to stop loving you. He refuses to stop loving me. He will never stop loving you. Whenever they got themselves into deep trouble and called on him for help, he was there. Don't they remember God's words? Don't I remember God's words? Judges has one basic pattern. They went into a place where they were everything was going good, and they're going along, and all of a sudden, they forget God, and they start worshiping idols, and they everyone does what's right in their own eyes, and they call out to God because now they're in bondage, and so they call out to God. God comes and delivers them and carries them through, and they get better, and everything starts going good, and they start living for the Lord, and then they get tired of living for the Lord, and they start worshiping idols, and then they, before you know it, they're calling on God because they're in bondage again and they need to be set free, and God comes and he delivers them over and over and over and over and over again. God keeps doing it. Judges has that problem. I'm glad we don't have that problem anymore. And by the end of the book, Israel sinks to a new all-time low. Israel broke its covenant with God. For this they suffer some of the consequences Moses warned about. One of them is found in Leviticus 26, 16, and 17. Your enemies will eat your crops that you plant, and I will turn from you and let you be destroyed by your attackers. Ruth starts out with, they went to Moab. Why? Because there was a famine in Bethlehem. Why was there a famine in Bethlehem? I believe it is because the enemies had been allowed to come in and take their food, just as God told them would happen. God stops short of allowing their enemies to eat them up. God explains through Moses, no matter what you have done, Leviticus 26, 44, no matter what you have done, I am still the Lord your God, and I will never completely reject you. I will never completely reject you. Judges covers roughly 300 years, just as Joshua dies in 1375 BC, which is the period of the book of Ruth that we're going to be studying, until just before Saul is crowned the first king of Israel, which is about 1050 BC. And you know, when you're doing BC, you're counting backwards, but as you go from, then you go, I was going to say AC, but AD, then, and then you're going forward. Yeah, it can't take me anywhere. This book was written, the book of Judges was written, because it was so important to share this embarrassing, hard thing that Israel did. It was important for us to know this. The stories vividly show the consequences of disobedience, as well as the never-ending love of God. The never-ending love of God. No matter how hard it gets, there is a never-ending love of God. How could this happen? In chapter 2, Israel starts worshiping idols. The people of Joshua's generation failed to tell their children of the works of God. And so the next generation didn't know of the works of God. They didn't know what God had done. They had no idea. The people stopped worshiping the Lord, begin worshiping the gods of Canaan. There they are. They are supposed to destroy the Canaanites. They are supposed to go in and take the land. What do they do? They make friends with the Canaanites. The Canaanites were enemies. God said, you are to go in and you are to take their land and you are to destroy them. But they made friends with the enemy. And what happened? When we make friends with the enemy, we find ourselves worshiping their idols. Before we know it, here we are. How did I get here? I was befriending the enemy. The Lord allowed other nations to steal their crops and their possessions. After time, however, the Israelites called on the God of their parents. Called on the God of their parents. He answered by sending leaders who rescue Israel from their enemies. And peace lasted as long as, what? The judges lived. As long as that judge lived, everything's going good. We've got this leader. We've got this person directing us. We're doing good. We're following God. And they die just like when Joshua died. And before you know it, they're back to worshiping idols. Back to that place, back into bondage, calling out to God. God delivers them. They get doing better. God puts them under a leadership. Everything goes well. Then that person dies, and then they are all again. Keeps going, just like the news today. But afterward, the Israelite would become even more sinful than the ancestors had been. For 25 years, the people would suffer from a king who was hostile. In chapter 4, Deborah is on the scene. Deborah, the judge. Yes, Deborah, the judge. She was fearless. But I want you to note what happened in chapter 4. Barak, the man, said, I will go out to battle, but only if you're in the lead. Only if the woman is in the lead. You see, the men had become weak and have allowed the women to fight the battle for them. Ladies, pray for the men. Whether they're your husband or just a man that you know, pray for them, that God would strengthen them, that God would encourage them, that God would direct them, that God would give them a gift of wisdom, that God would give them all that they need to lead, and that they would remain strong. Even if somebody comes to your mind, maybe you have this is just coming to my mind, you have a friend, you just know this person, or this person's name just came to you, and you need to be praying for him, for his strength, whatever that is, I don't know, but you need to be praying for that person, whoever that person is. And so Deborah leads them in the battle and, of course, wins. In chapter 7, the Israelites have already returned to their old sinful ways, so God allowed raiders to come in against Israel. The people finally call on God, and who's their deliverer this time? Gideon. Here's Gideon with his huge army of 300 against this huge, huge army. What happens? They cause the enemy to run. Why? Because Gideon listened to God. And Gideon obeyed God. And they broke the vessels at the appropriate time, and the torches were lifted up, and the people, all of those strong men, all of that big army, ran away horrified that they were being chased by this huge army. That's God. That's what God does when we obey him. That's what God does when we open up to his leading, when we allow him to be in front and lead us. In chapter 16, we meet Samson. Now, Samson was the last judge, judge number 12. He was the last judge, but Samson was a judge that was very different from all the other ones. Samson doesn't settle disputes among his people, and he leads no one into battle. He was a spoiled brat. You know why they use that word, spoiled? Don't spoil your kids. It's so easy to spoil kids, isn't it? It's more easy to spoil grandkids. But what does that word mean? It means that you don't want to be around someone like that. And Samson was spoiled, even though God had put him in that place, gave him all that strength, blessed his life. He didn't use it to God's glory. And so he had this problem with women. And he leads no one into battle. He's a one-man army who hates the Philistines, who the Philistines had killed his bride, and they had burnt her body. And so he burns their crops, then slaughters 1,000 of their soldiers by using nothing but a jawbone of a donkey. He has incredible strength. His strength was given by who? By God. That's where it all came from. He also had a vow to keep. He was never to cut his hair. But then he falls in love with Delilah. And Delilah finds his secret. And she leads the Philistines in, because the Philistines are going to pay her for this information. And she leads the Philistines in right after she's cut his hair. And as she cuts his hair and she leads them in, and he thinks, oh, ow. Can't even get up off the bed because his strength is all gone. Because he broke the vow to God. His strength is gone. And so they take him. They capture Samson. They put out his eyes. They put him to work at a grinding mill. And then one day, they decide to parade him. They decide to show off their war souvenirs. But by this time, two things have happened. His hair has grown, and he has called on God. His strength was not in his hair. His strength was in God. But his strength that was from God was apparent by the length of his hair. And so he finds himself in the place, he calls out to God, and he asks God to give me the strength to tear down this building and to kill the Philistines. It was out of revenge, yes. But nonetheless, he had called on God. He recognized his sin. He recognized what he had done. And he called on God, and God gave him the strength to bring down the building. And 3,000 Philistines went with him. He died in this as well. Right after this, the book ends with the Israelites handcrafting silver idols. Right after this. Handcrafting silver idols. A mob attacks a house to get a man to come out so that they could have relations with him. He sends out his wife. His wife is raped. His wife is killed. A civil war ensues because of it. And the book ends with, in those days, there was no king in Israel. So every man did what was right in their own eyes. Every man did what was right in their own eyes. So all this was going on in the time of Ruth, in the time that there was famine in the land because of the sin of the nation. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. In our everyday life today, not much has changed. When you listen to the news, if you read the newspaper, if you get news on your laptop, on your computer, on your little watch, whatever you get that news on, you find that not much has changed, has it? We're still talking about the same things. We're still talking about people being raped. We're still talking about murders. We're still talking about people doing what's right in their own eyes. This was where Ruth lived in those days. Into those days came a young woman who was willing to give her all. And because she gave her all, she would become the mother of Israel's best king. I'm anxious to get into the story of Ruth next week. The story of love, the story of friendship, the story of loyalty, but especially the story of redemption. Especially the story of redemption. Ruth is not just a nice short story. It's not just a romance. It's not just a nice little four-chapter letter, book. It is something more. It is filled with the consequences of a woman who was willing to be all in. Are you all in? Am I all in? What will it take for me to be all in? Let's commit to asking God what he wants to see changed in us. And then let's ask him for the strength, for the courage, for the commitment, and for the loyalty, and for the friendship that we'll need to accomplish what he's called us to do in the place that he has positioned us. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for what you've spoken to us tonight, Lord. And I know there have been a couple of words that has been specifically for specific people. And I know that that's true. I know that that's true, Lord. And I pray, Father, that those of us who have received a word tonight from you will respond to it in the way that you lead us. May we always walk with you, Lord. Give us everything that we need to be all in and to be courageous, to be friends to others, Lord, and help others along the way. Help us to be women like Ruth, who was all in, gave it to her all, and so that you got all of the glory. We thank you and we praise you, Lord. As these women get into their small groups, we pray, Father, that you would anoint their time together. Lord, that they would build those friendships, that they would build those companionships. Lord, that they would pray for one another, care for one another, lift one another up. And Lord, I just thank you for the privilege that we have for these small groups, Lord, that you have done it. You put it together. And thank you, Father, for being such an amazing God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Enjoy your time together.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.